She wants it over the side.
Is the button up?
Good morning. Oh, that was weak. Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
All right. How is everybody doing this morning? Yeah. Okay, we have a story here. Has anybody ever heard of the blame game? We're going to figure out what the blame game is. You want to be my helper? You want to be? Okay, come here, and I'll let you help with something else. Okay, this is what we're going to do. Every time you hear me say, but it wasn't my fault, I want you to make a mark on the board, okay? This is called the blame board. So every time you hear me say that, you're going to take this marker and just make a line, okay? So we have a story about a little boy named Jared. And Jared was with his mom and dad, and he was getting ready for school one morning. And he had his lunch already in his hand, ready to go. And so his dad said, Jared, can you go take out the trash? So he put his lunch down, he went downstairs and took out the trash. Then when he came back upstairs, his mom said, can you go to the car and get something for me? No, I'm sorry. She told him, hurry up. We got to hurry up and go to school. So he said, okay. So he hurried up and went out the car, out the house, and they got into the van. And his mom had got a new van, so he was fascinated. He enjoyed playing with the locks. He was locking and locking. She said, Jared, stop playing with those locks. That's only when you're getting in the car and out of the car. So they went on to school, and when they got to school, his mom said, okay, have a good day. She said, grab your lunch. And Jared's head went down. She said, oh, no, Jerry, don't tell me you forgot your lunch again. And he said, but it's not my fault. And she said, okay, Jerry. She dug in her purse pocket and she got some money for, here's some money for your lunch. So he went on to school. He seen one of his friends as he was coming. And they said, let's hurry up and get to our homeroom. So they ran to their classroom. And when they got was going in the classroom, he ran across and he hit this little girl's desk and all her stuff went out on the floor. And she said, you knocked all my stuff on the floor. He said, but it's not my fault. Someone pushed me, and I hit your desk, and all the stuff went out. So So I said, okay. So he found himself to a seat. And when he got down in his seat, the teacher, it was time for class to start. So the teacher said, okay, I need everyone to turn in their homework. The social studies homework I gave you yesterday, I need you to turn it in. So he went around picking up all the homework from everyone, and he got to Jared's desk. And he said, Jared, where's your homework? He said, well, my parents had to go get a new van, so I didn't have time to get my homework. He said, well, that's okay. He said, but it's not my fault because I had to go with them. So he said, okay. He said, but you're going to have to stay in from recess and do your homework so you can turn it in. So Jared was not happy about that. So recess time came, and all the other kids went out to recess, and Jared had to stay in the classroom and do his homework, and he was not happy, but he got it done. So when they came back in from recess, his friend said, it's your fault, you know, because they were going to have a big soccer tournament. Went out. He said, because you went out there, we lost. And he said, if we lose again tomorrow, we're not going to be in first place anymore. Jared threw up his hands. He said, but it's not my fault. The teacher told me I had to stay in the class and do my homework. So, okay, so they went on. So school was over, and they got to go home. So the next morning, it was raining outside. And so Jared's mom said, Jared, can you get the umbrella and take it to get the umbrella for me because it's raining outside. She went outside and she got the van started because it was cool outside so it can be warm when they got in there. So Jared went out. He said, well, it's just sprinkling a little bit, so I'll just go get in the van. And when he went and got in the van, he said, well, Mom will never know. I'm going to play with these locks. He liked to hear the sound of the locks. I'll just on and off, he did the locks. And then his mom, he heard his mom come, Jared, did you get my umbrella? And he said, it startled him, so he got out the van, and he said, I'll hit the lock. I'll hit it one more time. He hit the lock, and he got out. And about halfway to the house, he stopped. Did I do what I think I did? And his mom said, come on, let's get ready to go. She said, well, Jared, she said, the umbrella's in the car. She said, well, I wanted to kind of walk to the car. She said, but that's okay. I'll just go ahead to the car. So when they got to the car, Jared said, I hope I didn't lock the doors. So he went around to one side, and both the doors were locked, and his mom was on the other side. Both those doors was locked. She said, Jared, were you playing with the car? Did you lock the door? He said, yeah. He said, but you got another key in the house, don't you? Where his mother had already shut the house door, so the house was locked. She said, yeah, but the extra key is in the house. So his mother went back to the porch, and it was raining outside. And she said, so Jared just came up. He said, but it's not my fault. She said, Jared, there is no one else you can blame. Who else played with the locks and locked the doors? So they sat on the porch, and she was trying to figure out what she was going to do. And the dad was already gone to work, so she said, okay. Then all of a sudden, she heard something ring, and she had her car phone. She had her phone in her pocket. She had forgot she had it. So then she was able to call his dad. He said, well, go and check around all the house, the windows, and make sure none is open. If not, you're going to have to call a locksmith is someone who comes and unlocks your car, your house, if you lose your keys in there. So while Jared was sitting there, he started thinking, and he said, well, Mom, I guess I am sorry. I guess it was my fault. If I wouldn't have been playing with the locks, the doors wouldn't have got locked, so he apologized. And his mom said, that's okay. He said, but you never forget things, because he was always forgetting things. She said, Jared, why do you think I have this blue notebook? She had a blue notebook pad that she kept with her all the time because she would forget things. She said, I have to write things down. He said, wow, you are like a real person too. So sometimes parents forget things. Sometimes parents make mistakes too. We may look perfect, but we're not. Okay. So he was happy. And there is a Bible text in 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the next day when Jared went to school, when he started making mistakes, he ran to the same little girl's desk, and he said, oh, he didn't wait for her to say anything. He said, I'm sorry. He said, I did that by accident. I'll help you pick it up. And she was so happy the little girl smiled. Now this is, how many marks did you get on there?
Five.
5 marks. So remember we just read the Bible verses, we confess our sins. Can you erase that off of there? It doesn't come off. So this is the what if board. Now, do we all make mistakes, or sometimes do we do things that we shouldn't do? What should we do if we do something we shouldn't do? If your mom told you to go clean your room and you said, well, I'm going to go outside and play instead. Should you do something to your mom? What should you do? What if? Very good. She said apologize. So make a mark on that board. She said, We can apologize. And if you apologize to your mom, and then who else do you need to apologize to? Jesus. Okay, what's something else that we might do that we shouldn't do? What about if we tell a lie? Telling a lie is something that is true. There's no such thing as a half-truth. Either it's the truth or it's not the truth. If you did something you shouldn't do and your mom asked you and you start doing like Jared, either you make up an excuse or you just say that you didn't do it, then let's put another mark. This is a what-if board. But if we ask our mom and our dad to forgive us and then we ask Jesus to forgive us, can you erase that off the board? Can you erase this board? So this one erases off. So if we make a mistake or if we choose to do something we shouldn't do, all we have to do is just confess. We have to admit we did it. Don't make excuses for what you're doing. Ask Jesus to forgive us and the person who you did it to. And then it's erased just like this board. The what if board is gone. There's nothing there. That's what happens when we ask Jesus to forgive us. He forgives our sins and it's as if you never did it at all. So let's don't be like the blame board. Don't blame other people for the choices that you make. There are good choices and there are bad choices, but there's never excuse for what we choose to do. But who can help us to have the what if board? Who can help us to always admit when we do something and apologize and then our board is clean? Jesus can help us. So let's go this week. Don't be the blame board, but be the what if board. And Jesus will forget it. It'll be like you never did it. So we want to all, who would like to have prayer for us? We're going to thank Jesus that he helps us to make the right choices and that we're going to all have a clean board because God is going to help us this week to always apologize, admit when we do wrong, and ask Jesus to help us not to do it again. And what's your name? Cash is going to pray for us and thank Jesus for forgiving us, thank him for cleansing us, that we're all got clean slates. This is a new day. If you've done something that you shouldn't do, apologize, and then ask Jesus to forgive you, and it's as if you never done it before. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Cass is going to pray for us.
Dear Jesus, please forgive us for all the bad mistakes we've done this week and through the life we've had. Please do not blame other people for the mistakes we've done, and please help us and thank you for all the blessings you give us each and every day. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, you can all go back to your seat.
So we serve an awesome God. He does a lot of things for us that we don't deserve. This is our opportunity to come together in prayer. Some of you have little prayer cards for special needs or wants or desires. If you bring your little blue cards forward, we'll have opening prayer. Possible, let's kneel. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for so many blessings. We don't even know where to start counting. Thank you for the wonderful church that we have, the church family. Be with us. Bless us. We know that there are some people that need special attention. There are people that are hurting physically. There are people that are not here because of illness. Watch over them. Put your healing hand upon them. Help us to be good Christian witnesses to the people that we go throughout the week with and the people we come in contact with. We ask all your blessings in your dear name. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Good morning. Our offering today is for the church budget. Do any of you remember the World War II? I was a very little girl then. Just saying. But it was very difficult for people in Great Britain. They were bombed. London was bombed every single night. And people had to go to air raid shelters, and they sent children to the country. It was very difficult for them. But during World War II, this article appeared in a London newspaper. First one was, "We have been a pleasure-loving people, dishonoring God's day with our picnicking and outings, etc. But now our seashores are barred, and no picnicking or no swimming can be done. We have preferred motor travel to church going. Now there's no gasoline for driving. There is a shortage of fuel. We have ignored the church bells calling us to worship, and now the bells ring only to warn us of another air raid. We have left our churches empty, and when they should have been filled. Now they're in ruins because of the bombs. We would not listen to the way of peace. Now we listen to the way of war. The money we would not give to the Lord is now taken from us in higher taxes and a higher cost of living. The food which we refused to give God thanks for is now not available. The services we refused to give to God are now conscripted for our country. The lives we lived under God's control are now lived under the government's control. Nights we could not spend watching unto prayer are now spent watching for an air raid in a shelter. And Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And I just pray that we won't neglect the liberties that we have right now. They won't always be available to us. Let's be thankful for them while they're here. The ushers will now take up our offerings. Thank you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the liberties that we have today, and we pray that we will not be neglectful to appreciate them and to abide by them. We're thankful for each person here today, and we're thankful for the offerings. And I just pray that they will be used according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
My heart is so proud, my mind is so unfocused. I see the things you do through me as great things I have done. And now you gently break me, then lovingly you take me and hold me as my Father, and mold me as my Maker. I ask you, how many times will you pick me up when I keep on letting you down? And each time I will fall short of your glory, how far will forgiveness abound? And you answer, my child, I love you. And as long as you're seeking my face, you'll walk in the power of my daily sufficient grace. At times I may grow weak and feel a bit discouraged, knowing that someone somewhere could do a better job. For who am I to serve you? I know I don't deserve you. And that's the part that burns in my heart and keeps me hanging on. I ask you, how many times do you pick me up when I keep on letting you down? And each time I will fall short of your glory, how far will forgiveness abound? And you answer, my child, I love you. And as long as you're seeking my face, you'll walk in the power of my daily sufficient grace. You are so patient with me, Lord. As I walk with you, I'm learning what your grace really means. The price that I could never pay was paid at Calvary. So instead of trying to repay you, I'm warning to simply obey you by giving up my life to you for all that you've given to me. I ask you, how many times will you pick me up when I keep on letting you down? And each time I will fall short of your glory, how far will forgiveness abound? And you answer, my child, I love you. And as long as you're seeking my face, you'll walk in the power of my daily sufficient grace. Thank you.
Happy Sabbath. The scripture is John 7:37-39. I'll be reading this text from the New Living Translation, John 7:37-39. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowd, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scripture declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who will be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everyone today?
Good.
What a wonderful day to be here in God's house. And the deacons are going around right now for those of you young people, children, that would like a sheet. It's a sheet to go along with the message today, something to maybe help keep on track if that would be something you'd like. And there's a picture on the back that the children can color also. And so thank you for passing those out and having those available. I think I just realized I needed to change my sermon title. I think in the special music and the children's story, it's exactly, you couldn't have chosen something better. I know the Lord chose those things today because the message today is about God's grace and about clean slates. So thank you. Thank you for those. Let's bow our heads and have just another word of prayer. Precious Father, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to study your word and to know you for ourselves, to have that sweet communion with you. Thank you that we have the privilege of being here today. Thank you for each and every home that is represented here. May each heart be in tune with your spirit today to receive the blessings that I know you have for each one of us. Please guide my thoughts, my words. May your spirit teach me and help me, especially right now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll just make that too. Have you ever been away from home with no water and you became so thirsty you felt like you wouldn't get home in time to get water to drink? You thought you might pass out, you might have something go wrong. Well, running the country road where I lived when I was 14, I soon learned how important water was. I left the house, no water, started to run down our country lane, and we lived between, we were pretty much halfway between the mile, so I'd run to one corner and I'd run back. And I thought I wanted to be healthy. And here I went with no water. And so had a lot to learn. Well, the first half mile went all right, but heading back home, I realized I was dehydrated. And so I was fighting nausea and feeling very lightheaded and so glad when I could get home and get a drink of cool water. I was so thirsty. Water is one of those natural resources we can't live without. And I was thinking again about how much we are made up of water. 50 to 65% for an average adult, and babies even more. Babies, about 70%. And on an average, do you know how long we would live if we didn't have water? How many days could we live? Three? 3 to 4 days. Yeah. So we really need water. Well, last summer, my husband mentioned something to me that I thought sounded interesting. It was something online at American Innovations, and it was called Just a Drop in the Bucket. You've probably heard that expression before. Well, I looked it up, and the information they gave there about that was talking about the access that we have to available water on our planet, to available water for us to drink. And they gave a summary using a 1,000-mil beaker showing the salt water, of course, the most, 97%, fresh water or frozen water at 2%, and they gave fresh water only at 1%. Now, I've seen a little variation of that in other places where the fresh water was at about 2%. But then to bring home how much water there actually was for us to drink, available to us to use, they took an eyedropper and used one drop. So it's not a lot of water. So we do need to use water conservatively. And I hope we do in our homes. I hope we manage our water conservatively. But you know, there's another kind of water that is more abundant than for our thirst, our spiritual thirst. And that is the living water that Jesus wants to give us. Two of the most beautiful expressions that I know of in the Bible refer to Christ in these ways, that he is the rock and that he is the living water. Let's go read that together over in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. Talking about the children of Israel as they were going through the wilderness. Do you have it? Okay. Can we read it together? I have New King James. I don't know if you have that. Go ahead and read with me. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. Well, Jesus provided abundant water for them physically, and it was supernaturally provided as they went through the wilderness. And God's Spirit, as we're going to learn today, is ready to give us what we need, that spiritual water, the drink of his truth that will refresh our souls. For the Spirit is truth. His word tells us over in Galatians. Let's turn to Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22. His word tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. Galatians 5:22. Do we have it? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And I was thinking about this love that seems to undergird all the other gifts of the Spirit, and how I turned over to 1 John. Let's go over to 1 John 5:12 and look at that verse. 1 John 5:12. Do I have the right verse here? I don't think I do. Let's see. I needed to say 1 John 4:12. If you'd go with me to 1 John 4:12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. So if we do, this is a beautiful verse, is it not? It reminded me of our hymn this morning that we sang about joyful, joyful, we adore thee. All who live in love are thine. So if we live in love, we belong to Jesus. And it's such a beautiful thought to me to see his love for us, like Sean sang about this morning, the great love he has, the forgiveness he has for us. And when we live, when we allow his love to come into us through the Holy Spirit, through this beautiful gift God's given us, we are his. We belong to him. I saw this love for one another illustrated one day as I was on my way home from the office. I came to a stop at Washington Street and noticed a little family crossing the street. I'm so glad God took my eyes over there so I could see them. It appeared to be a father and a mother and a little girl. And the way they walked and turned and watching for each other as they crossed the street and talking to each other after they had crossed the street showed me how much they loved each other and how much they belonged to each other. It was a very brief observation, but it had a profound effect on me that day. The Lord immediately, the thoughts came to my heart. Who do I belong to? Do I belong to Jesus? I want to, but can people really see that I belong to him? Like I could see they belonged to each other? So on the way home, I was asking myself, to whom do I belong? I wish I had a picture to show you of that little family I saw that day. But I do have pictures of a little family I recently saw that I could also tell belonged to each other. The first slide. We recently visited our granddaughter, our first grandchild. And this is Andrew and Heidi and little Haley. And you can see the bond that is in their eyes and their hearts. We can go to the next one. And the way they looked at her, the way they care for her, there's something very special about a family. And they have just enlarged their family to have a little girl. And it reminds me, when I was watching them and their care for her, how much God cares for us. And the realization again of Christ coming as a baby, a helpless baby, needing to have every need provided for him. We can praise the Lord for everything he does for us. He gave himself to us and died for us, and now he's making intercession for us so that we can belong to him. He wants us to belong to him. Okay, the next slide. Seeing Andrew with Haley reminded me of how deep the Father's love is for his children. We see God's love in his words to us in Ephesians. Let's turn there. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Let me know when you're there. Okay, very good. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Jesus loves his church. He loves you, each one of you, so much. He came just for you, just for me. He loves each one of us just the same. And I'm so grateful for a Father that loves us. Our initial scripture this morning referred to rivers of living water and the Holy Spirit. Do we have this living water that flows out of our hearts that believers will have? It says believers will have this. I think we need to be thirsty for it. Are we thirsty this morning? Are we thirsty for that living water? How do we get it if we want it? Let's go over to Luke 11:13. Luke 11:13. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 11:13. Okay, are we there? Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We just need to ask for the Holy Spirit. Have you prayed for the Holy Spirit? Have you asked for the Holy Spirit? Amen. We need to every day. It's the most precious gift we could ever have. And it's the one we need the most. I love this verse over in, let's go to Romans 5:5. It talks about the Holy Spirit there as well. Romans 5:5. This is a beautiful chapter. It begins by saying that we've been justified by faith and that we have peace with God. And in verse 5, it says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God has been poured into our hearts. Is there anyone else here that feels like they need more love than they already have? I'll tell you, I'm faced with that every day, and I see so much how much more I need. And so I'm asking more and more for God's Spirit and to pour that love into my heart. You know, in our notes, if this happened for them, it can happen for us too, right? If Paul is talking here about this was being poured out in our hearts, we can have the same experience. In our lesson this week, how many of you studied your Sabbath school lesson this week? It was a great lesson, wasn't it? This quarter has been another wonderful quarter. And I loved in the Spirit of Prophecy notes there, it talked about how through His grace, we will learn to cultivate love, to educate ourselves to speak kindly and tenderly, and through His grace, our cold, harsh manners will be transformed. The law of kindness will be on our lips. Learning to cultivate love, it gives us the idea of something that needs to be cared for, like a tender plant, so it can grow. So I pray we can learn to cultivate love, because Jesus wants to give it to us through His Holy Spirit and for it to grow in our hearts each day. And back to our reference in 1 John 4:12-13, if we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He's given us of His Spirit. Are we abiding in Christ? Are we belonging to Christ? In our scripture reading this morning, it's Christ said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." And in our commentary, it talks about, it has a reference about this for these verses, about what Jesus was referring to here. This was during the Feast of Tabernacles, and there was something called a water libation ceremony. Water was collected in a golden vessel from the pool of Siloam and brought up to the temple for a special ritual where the water was poured out in a silver bowl. And that's a very, very short explanation. You can look at that yourself and later and look at more of the particulars on that. And then also in an article online from Jews for Jesus, they refer to this ritual in which they acknowledge their dependence upon God for the blessing of rain that comes on the earth. And so here is Jesus, the last day of the feast, and he stands up and he cries out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Can you envision this scene with me this morning? The water had just been poured out by the priests, acknowledging their dependence upon the Creator, God. And then Jesus cries, "Come to me and drink." Earlier in the book of John, in chapter 4, there's a story also about Jesus and the living water. In John 4, if you want to turn there, it refers to the story of the woman at the well in John 4. I think hopefully we're all familiar with that story. Jesus asked her a favor that day to engage her in conversation. Her conversation with him, she became very interested in the living water that Jesus was talking about. She realized this was the man. This man was the Messiah that was to come. And she believed in Jesus. She was drawing a different kind of water that day. Jesus was the ultimate well of salvation. Her faith was quickened, and she received such a spiritual blessing from being there with Jesus. And as soon as she could get back to her hometown, it was flowing out of her to her friends and family where she lived. He is longing to give us that living water as well, so we will belong to him. This lesson was brought home to me on a trip we took last summer to Pennsylvania. We went to a place called Falling Water. Okay, we could go to the next slide. And it's near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I gleaned some of the information I'm going to share, I gleaned from a book about this place called Falling Water, The Building of Frank Lloyd Wright's Masterpiece by Mark Harshman and Anna Egan Smucker, and also from an online source, Designing Falling Water. Falling Water is set in the beautiful Appalachian Mountains and plateaus, and there's a bare run stream. It's fed by many mountain springs that eventually join the Ugaunee River. And there's small rushing waterfalls all throughout the length of Bear Run. It's just a beautiful place of rocks and waterfalls in the forest. If you ever get to go by there, I hope you can. It was just a delight. It was in the summer, and it was nice and cool that day, actually. It was kind of rainy and foggy, so it was a little cooler than usual when we visited there. The home there was built, there was going to be a home built there for a Kaufman family. And the Kaufmans were business people in Pittsburgh, and they loved waterfalls. And they thought it would be so great to have a home right where we're standing. Where we're standing is kind of the view back up the way to the home and the waterfall in the background. You can't see it too much in this picture, but I'll show you another one. But I wanted to show you that right where we were standing is where they thought it would be a perfect place for their home, because they wanted to enjoy the falls at a distance. They thought it would be really pretty to look over and see those there. And so, but their architect, Mr. Wright, had another idea. When he saw the area and the beautiful waterfalls, his idea was not simply to view nature from a distance, but to live within it. And the architect wanted to see a map of the area, all the rocks and trees and everything there, so he could get a picture in his mind of how to build a house by a waterfall. He wanted their home to be connected with nature and actually experience the falls in every room of the house. It was to be a home where falling water would be heard in every room. It was to be a home that was built on the rock. On the rock, not just by a rock, but on the rock. And the house would stretch over the waterfall like tree branches. Next picture. The home was built with a cantilevered system that anchored to a central stone. These cantilevers were made out of concrete, and they were used in a stacked grouping. And after the home was built, after Mr. Wright thought about it, put it down on the blueprints, and then the home was built, he went to visit the home. And he saw in reality what he had seen in his mind many months before. This home was nestled into the hillside so much that it looked like it grew out of the rocks, like it just belonged there. It was just part and parcel with nature. Okay, next slide. This, of course, reminded me of the beautiful story in Matthew 7 of Jesus' story about building on the rock, how he wants us to build on the rock, because that's where our safety is. When we build on the rock, it won't matter how much water comes over us or around us. We will be safe and secure. We will be fastened to a rock that cannot move. And we want to be fastened to that rock. We don't want to be fastened or gripped in the grip of the world. But we want to be fastened to the rock of ages. And you know, it's a daily, moment-by-moment choice, isn't it? When self rises up and wants what it wants, we need to give it to Jesus. And he will change our desires. He will change our thoughts. And it's just a miracle. It's a miracle how he does it. And if we're grounded on this rock of ages, we'll be grounded in his love. For God is love. We will be grounded in him. Okay, next slide. As we walked through the house on our visit, we could hear the sound of falling water when the windows were open. And the windows were unusual as well. There was a section where they were totally open, where there was no frame on at least a couple of them, so that it was just open. And they had this by a desk, usually, in each room, so the person in the room could open the window and definitely hear the water. You could experience the waterfall. And I thought of that special promise of Jesus in John 7:38. He who believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I thought, you know, every room of our hearts needs to be open to the cleansing, the washing of the water by the word. Every room. Just as this home, you could hear the water from each room, it made me think of the of the cleansing that we need in our hearts and in our homes inside, in our hearts and maybe our homes literally as well. Let that water of life flow through to cleanse anything in our home that maybe shouldn't be there. And as we read God's word and believe in Him, our hearts will be cleansed. Okay, I won't read this whole story, but I think most of you have heard this before. It's a story, I've heard different variations of it through the years. Mine was called The Bible and the Coal Basket. It's where the grandfather and the grandson are living on a farm in the mountains, and father asks him to go get a basket of water. Okay, and you know, the little boy, he's going back and forth to get this water, and the water keeps falling out of the basket because there's nothing to really hold the water in there. And the little child just says, "I can't do it." And he said, "But Grandpa, I want to be like you. I see you reading your word every day, and I want to be like you, Grandpa." And so he said, "Well, you know, even if you can't understand everything that you read right now, it'll be like this water in the coal basket. You know, the more you read, the more it cleanses your heart and your mind, and you're going to be a different person." And so Grandfather was trying to help him see that reading God's word changes us on the inside. It transforms us from the inside out, little by little. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Psalm 119:9. Remember that, those of you that are young in our midst, and those that are old as well, especially those of you who are young, remember to take heed according to God's word, and your hearts will be just where they need to be, so you can listen for that Holy Spirit to give you direction in your life. Well, Jesus promises us a helper, another helper. And Jesus was a helper, wasn't he? And that's why he said, "I'm going to send you another helper." And this helper would come and convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. And you know, it's okay to ask for help. How many of us grew up thinking otherwise? We don't want to ask somebody for help. Maybe we don't want to ask for directions of where we're driving. Maybe we just don't want to ask for help. I grew up in a family like that. And you know, it's not always a good thing. We want to know that we need help, and we can, it's good to ask for help, and we can ask for the Holy Spirit to help us and overcome our weaknesses and deficiencies, because we're going to see them as we're in God's word. We see them, but God, the beautiful thing is God invites us to hide our insufficiencies and weaknesses in Him. And when we come to Him in faith, He's going to supply every need that we have. And we can ask for forgiveness of sins. Just remember, like when the choir sang recently, "Surely, surely, He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, cleansing us of all iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him." The living water of His word brought home to us through the Holy Spirit will transform us from the inside out. And I pray that this water will flow into all the rooms of our hearts and homes today. You know, at home, I have different cycles of cleansing in my home. And I've seen different cycles of cleansing in my heart as well. There are many daily cleansing activities, others weekly, or maybe monthly, or maybe seasonally. And on my washing machine, I notice there's different cycles. There's normal, there's delicate, there's hand wash, and there's sanitize. And I look at the care label on the garment to see which one of those I should use. And you know, God is so careful with us. We know He knows. He knows what we know. He knows what we need. He knows how to care for us. And, you know, sometimes these cleaning cycles, these purifying cycles that we go through, that God puts us through, are intense. But He knows how much we can bear. And as we keep looking to Him, He guides us through each one. Let's turn to Psalm 86, verse 5. Psalm 86, verse 5. Are we there? Okay. Let's read this one together. It's so beautiful. Let's read it together. For You, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon You. Oh, Jesus is so ready to forgive us, which I appreciate You brought out in Your story today of the clean slate. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Just as the falling water is built on the rock where water flows, I hope we'll build our house on the rock where the living water of God's Word cleans us up as we have that influence in our heart and life every day. And I pray that we will have God's presence with us and ask Him to shine into the deepest parts of our heart, to cleanse us and heal us, to give us a new life in Him, a new life of belonging, a life of service. Oneness in Christ, it's a place of assurance and peace and joy. And if we haven't been loyal to Christ as we should, let's return to loyalty and experience the oneness again and truly belong to Him, truly reflect His character. This day, the Sabbath day, is a beautiful sign between us and God, isn't it? That we belong to Him. And I praise God for Sabbath. My husband shared this illustration with me last week. He asked me, "What does it mean when you write your name in a book?" I said, "Well, it means it belongs to you." And then he said, "Well, what will it mean when God writes His name on our foreheads?" I said, "Well, it will mean we belong to Him." I don't know, what does it mean to you today to belong to Jesus? What do you think it's going to mean to you to belong to Him forever? In Desire of Ages, on page 454, it says, "The cry of Christ to the thirsty soul is still going forth, and it appeals to us with even greater power than to those who heard it in the temple on that last day of the feast. The fountain is open for all. The weary and exhausted ones are offered the refreshing draught of eternal life." And His invitation extends all the way to the last page in our Bibles. Let's turn to Revelation 22, 17. Revelation 22, 17. Revelation 22, 17. "And the Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come,' and let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Would you with me like to say today, "I believe Your promises for me, Lord," in John 7 and all throughout the Bible? I want to claim Your promises every day. I desire to live in love with You and with people around me. I really, truly want to belong to You. And my thirsty soul comes to You right now to take that water of life freely. I pray that that would be your desire this morning. Let's sing our closing song, hymn 191, Love Divine. Let's see, put it down here.
Love divine, all love's excelling joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us that humble dwelling, all thy faithfulness to be found. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure and bounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, O breathe thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit, let us find our promised rest. Take away our bent to sinning, Alpha and Omega be, in the faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come Almighty to deliver, let us all thy grace receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temple be. Leave with thee always blessing, serve thee as thy host above. We admit thee with unceasing glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father, truly your love is divine. Thank you for this gift of love through your Holy Spirit that we can have in each of our lives today. We ask that you would refresh us, Lord. Give us a new experience today of belonging to you and having that river of water that flows through us and out of us to those around us to share your love with those that we come in contact with. Give us, Lord, the people that you need us to see this next week. Guide us as we go about our days to be listening for your voice and to move at the impulse of your love, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.